Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Four anti-war protesters risked their lives recently by entering defence land at Shoalwater Bay in Queensland during live firing and bombing exercises. They were attempting to halt a major military training operation called Talisman Sabre. The protesters were arrested and fined for trespass and obstruction. What's unusual about these protesters, though, is that they were all Christians. Two women, two men, all calling themselves the Bonhoeffer Four after the well-known theologian and activist Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and one of them was Jared McKenna, founder of the Peace Tree community in Western Australia. Jared's on the line now. G'day, Jared.
Hey, mate. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. It's fascinating to explore this whole idea of civil disobedience from a Christian perspective. Naughty Christians, really, in many ways, breaking the rules. Now, tell me about the Talisman Sabre exercise and why you particularly were incensed about this particular exercise and you travelled as far as, you know, from WA to Queensland to go and make a stand against it.
Well, as you said in the intro, anti-war activists. We hope to not just be anti, but actually pro-peace. Peter Moran, who's an influence on me, he talks about the best critique of the bad is the practice of the better. Mm. And what we were trying to embody is that kind of, I guess what Dietrich Bonhoeffer would call costly discipleship, not just your faith being a private reality, but a costly public reality as well. So it seems like an odd action unless you draw the big picture. And the big picture is that our Australian government at the moment spends $64 million a day on military spending. I lost two friends in the Bali bombing, two friends that celebrated my 18th birthday party with me, who a couple of years later were literally dead. And I'm passionately committed to ending terrorism and have been working in Indonesia at the invitation of Indonesians who brought me over to do that. But the question is, how do we do that? Currently, what we're doing during the Talisman Sabre exercises is we're training for, well, Tony Campolo, that great American evangelist, he uses the metaphor of swatting mosquitoes. And the kind of training that we're doing is how to best swat mosquitoes to deal with terrorism, that we swat them harder, we swat them more effective. Tony asked the question, well, doesn't there come a stage where we need to ask, don't we need to drain the swamp that is causing these mosquitoes? The injustice, the swamp that is the poverty, the swamp that is the humiliation of the Islamic world, and get to the real issues. $64 million a day, Jared, and with that kind of money, we could educate every child in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan.
Yeah, yeah.
We could develop our packages for, you know, nearly 13,000 Afghani villages for development packages.
But why the Talisman Sabre exercises in particular? You could have done a lot of other things. Why these exercises?
I guess we have done a number of other things as well, but why these ones in particular has got to do with a lot of reasons. The Talisman Sabre exercises are actually not defensive exercises, but invasive exercises, that is, training in invasion. The Australian Defence White Paper that came out early this year said that Australia is in no danger of being invaded for at least the next 20 years, and yet we're doing this kind of training where Australian soldiers are actually being taught to obey US command in the field, which I find quite disturbing. I think these young women and men who are bravely risking their lives deserve better policies and better vision than the current one that we have, which is sending them out for interests that aren't necessarily in Australia's best interest, but in the best interest of almost an empirical kind of policy.
So talk about, what did you do when you got to Shoalwater Bay? I think there's, 3,000 odd troops there, both Australian and US troops that were taking part in these exercises. Practically, what did you do? You took red balloons out there onto the field or something?
Yeah, well, the prophets are a strange model throughout the Christian scriptures. You know, these people who do things like take a garment and rip it in two to talk about a kingdom that's about to be divided, or will sit in their underwear or on their side for literally a couple of years. And we wanted to do the same kind of strange actions that speak and raise questions to bring these issues back into the debate. And so what we did is we literally trespassed during the games, where you had about 24,000 soldiers training for war, and we literally put ourselves in the middle of that in a special hearing in Parliament, Air Commander Meyer said that they would not continue the games if civilians actually were in the area.
Mm.
And so we wanted to take Air Commander Meyer up on that. And so our hope was to pause the games, that people wouldn't study war anymore, and with our bodies raise kind of costly questions in the tradition of nonviolent civil disobedience of, you know, Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King or Vincent Lingyari, closer to home here in Australia.
Now, there's actually firing and bombing exercises going on, I believe. I mean, to what degree were you actually at risk by walking out into the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the Tuesday morning we could actually hear the bombing. Were we at risk? Possibly. Not according to them keeping their word, but unfortunately they didn't, which was sad in itself and raises all kinds of questions about, well, what else aren't they keeping their word about?
What,
as well?
So they kept on firing when you walked out, did they?
They did. So some think that we're as close as within 10Ks. Like, we could certainly hear the bombs being dropped and that, and woke up to that sound. So it was loud enough to hear. It, quite concerning. But, I mean, certainly the soldiers weren't in any risk by us being there. If any of them, like some of the guys that found us, joked with us, thanks, it gives us a break from the monotony.
Right. This is Open House right across the nation. Jared McKenna is a peace activist, and just recently he and three others went and disrupted some exercises happening at Shoalwater Bay in Queensland to basically make a point that they don't want to be part of sending so many millions of dollars across the world to fund wars against terrorism. The interesting thing is that they're all Christians, and this is an issue of conscience for them. So, Jared, would you say it was a success? I mean, okay, finally you walked out there and obviously something stopped and they got you and they arrested you and fined you for trespassing and obstruction and things like that. Was it a success, what you did?
Mm. Well, Sheridan, you mentioned the word conscience, and Martin Luther King, I mean, he experienced huge criticism, and particularly when he changed his focus to not just include challenging racism, but to challenge what he called the unholy trinity of racism, materialism, and militarism. And when Martin Luther King started speaking out against war, people asked him things like, isn't this going to cost you support for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference? And Martin Luther King, his famous response is, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience, it asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but one must take it because it is right. So for us, it was not so much a question of, oh, I guess Mother Teresa would put it in terms of our task is not effectiveness, but faithfulness.
Mm.
And responding in the faithful non-violence of the cross that loves our enemies instead of bombing them, I guess.
Mm. See, I was going to raise that with you. You're raising the issue of the cross and the Christian message, because, of course, not all Christians would actually be opposed to the participation of troops in places like Iraq and Afghanistan.
Sure.
What do you say to your fellow brothers and sisters, fellow Christians, who actually, I guess, aren't on the same page as you right now? What would you have them think about?
Yeah, I guess I would ask them to come back to, you know, as Colossians puts it, that in him being Christ, God was pleased to have his fullness dwell and through him reconcile everything in heaven and on earth, that Jesus for us is the fullness of what God looks like. And so if we're orthodox in our understanding of the lordship of Jesus, that he is both our example and who we're to take commands from. One of the soldiers that found us, two of the guys actually were strongly committed Christians, these are US soldiers, and
mm-hmm.
one of them said to me, well, you know, Jesus is commander-in-chief of us all. And I said, amen, brother, but the question is that going to affect our next moment, and are we going to bow our knee, and is our tongue going to confess in this next moment in our actions to his lordship? This strange contradiction of our faith, that God's power is seen in weakness on the cross. What happened to following this Jesus who conquers his enemies by washing their feet, either of the one who's going to betray him, So our hope is that we would provoke not just questions of Kevin Rudd, who has said that his favourite theologian is Dietrich Bonhoeffer and won so much favour by his article in The Monthly, and yet his $100 billion long-term spending plan looks nothing like his hero. But our hope is also to raise questions and call the church back to, I guess, being the church, to being a giant Jesus in the world, and that evangelism isn't about being relevant, but is about being faithful in ways that people see our lives and how they look like the costly love, Calvary-shaped love of Jesus, and then people ask for the hope that we have.
This is Open House Across the Nation. Jared McKenna is a Perth-based peace activist who recently travelled from WA to Queensland, to Shoal Bay, to take part in some peaceful activism against military exercises that were being done there. 24,000-odd US and Australian troops training for things like the war against Iraq and exercises in Afghanistan, etc. And this bunch of Christians go there and basically walk out and stop the whole show. This whole idea of civil disobedience, I'd be interested to know your view as well. 1-300-40-2020, I'd particularly like to know if you've made any kind of civil disobedient act in your own life in the past, and what the issue was. Give me a call. I'd love to hear your story. See, Jared, the argument could go that wouldn't the Taliban and other organisations like them just be rubbing their hands in glee if Australia and other UN nations were to just withdraw their resistance? I guess you could say that by stopping the training exercises up in Shoalwater Bay, that's an act against any kind of form of war. Wouldn't they just be happy about that? Wouldn't they almost feel like, yeah, they're working on our side?
Well, I think if we were to do nothing, they would be happy. But the question is not to do nothing, but what are we to do? What are we to do with the incredible resources that we have? Last year alone, Sheridan, our world government spent over $1 trillion on weapons solely designed to take human life, to destroy the Imago Dei, the image of God in other human beings. That is 26 times the amount of money, according to the UN, that we need to end absolute poverty around the world. And I think the question becomes, how do we end terrorism? How do we honour my friends who died in Bali? The question is, we might not be able to stop people lighting matches, but is that match going to hit a pool of kerosene that is the poverty, that is the injustice that causes people to actually support these kind of actions, to see these people as heroes and as martyrs? If we actually start to drain that pool that is the support for this kind of extremism, we might not stop those once-off actions, but what we will stop is large-scale support for these groups that see them as resisting the Western way. In my work in Indonesia, some of the work was actually working with groups that I faced being detained by the Australian government because they're listed as terrorist groups. Groups like Hezbollah, which have an armed militia of 8,000. And brave Christians there who are actually working to disarm these groups, not through the way of the sword, but through the way of the cross, through sitting down and doing the hard work of building relationships, hearing their needs. Martin Luther King said that violence is the language of the unheard. If this is the language of the unheard, what is not being heard by us? Mm. And if we can hear those things, those desperate needs, and start to meet them in ways that actually are transformative, because at the end of the day, for me, Jesus' lordship means that it's not just a nice ideal, but they're practical practices for witnessing to God's new world, the kingdom of God. And I think, and I've seen in Indonesia working with these extremist groups, that this is actually what is ending terrorism, where they see Christians that are helping them rebuild their homes after landslides, where they see that Christians want to sit down and share with them what they have in common and tell them about this Jesus and how Jesus is good news to their communities. This is having incredible effects. We've actually seen over 700 of the leaders of Hezbollah start to go through non-violence training, where they're literally at a university level studying community development and non-violence training, and through meeting the needs around the poverty and the injustice that these people are experiencing, this group is disarming.
Mm. Jared, just lastly, what makes civil disobedience done by a Christian any different to any activist, any Greenpeace activist? What does a Christian activist do in doing civil disobedience that is actually different? How do they go about it?
Yeah, I hope what would be central is that sense of living God's love, that this isn't just a tactic, but this is actually seeking to witness to who God is. John Howard Yoder would put it that love goes with the grain of the universe, that when we love even those who we disagree with, who we strongly disagree with, as I'm sure many of your listeners will me, but when we are able to lovingly sit down and listen to one another and argue in such a way that even in the way that we do that, we witness to mm-hmm. who we follow. Mm-hmm. And so one of the most beautiful experiences for us, Sheridan, is when the soldiers found us with their M16 US soldiers, and they said, look, we're calling the military police and this is why they're holding guns. And I just went up while they're holding guns and put my hand out and said, I'm Jared, we're Christians. And we actually offered them a Bible each and a little bit of an explanation of why we're doing what we're doing. And I said, look, we're going to pray and you guys are more than welcome to join us until the military police arrive. We're just going to pray the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to pray the names of Australian soldiers, American soldiers, Afghani civilians and Iraqi civilians that have died in these conflicts, and we're going to pray for the transformation of our world. And if you'd like to join us, you're more than welcome. We started praying, Sheridan, and one of the soldiers, still wearing his gun, came up and stood behind us. And as we're calling out, you know, little Muhammad, 4 years old, and then we'd pause and we'd say, Lord, hear our prayer. And we'll go, Sergeant so-and-so, American soldier who died in Iraq, Lord, hear our prayer. Mm. And he came up with his gun behind us and he mentioned the name of one of his friends.
Mm.
And then he welled up and walked away.
Mm.
And, it just affected us so deeply.
Wow.
And, I mean, you know, we welled up as well and we were like, Lord, hear our prayer. I think the kind of distinct thing I hope would be felt in Christian activism as opposed to any other activism is that nonviolence is not just a tactic, but it's actually the practicalities of living out and witnessing to the foolishness of the cross. And it invites enemies in, and it doesn't create others, but it creates potential and openings for the Holy Spirit for conversion, for experiencing Jesus.
Mm.
And that's what I hope would be felt.
Mm. Well, fascinating to talk to you, Jared. Thanks for your time.
No worries, mate.
Yeah. Jared McKenna, who's the co-founder of the Peace Tree community in Perth and WA, and recently part of the Bonhoeffer Four, two guys, two girls, who travelled to Shoalwater Bay in Queensland and actually interrupted live firing and bombing exercises done there with US and Australian troops. Pretty fascinating, hey?
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.